So if someone is working in a particular profession, and while doing the profession, one has to do something wrong, then who gets the karma? Does that person get the karma, or does one's authority get the karma? So the brother says, he is refusing to step over hands, but the other talent carriers are stepping over hands. So do they get the karma, or do they? Do Nathi Rehoganam get the karma? Or do the Kaurav soldiers get the karma? Or is it only the Kaurav warriors who instigate the war that get the karma? During the Nuremberg trials were basically the trials after the Second World War of the Jew, of the German soldiers and generals who had participated in the Holocaust, in the killing of the Jews and others who were destroyed in the Nazi concentration camps. So one of the reasons and justification that many of the German officers, the soldiers gave us, that we are simply following orders. This was rejected as a valid premise. They said, even if you are following orders, you have to use your intelligence, you have to use your conscience, whether I should be following this order or not. So, in spiritual life, what to speak of in material life, in spiritual life, sometimes we have the example of Bali Maharaj being given an order by Shukracharya. Shukracharya refuses that order. It's an extreme example. Bali Maharaj, Shukracharya was the priest and almost like the spiritual teacher of Bali Maharaj. So, following orders is not a substitute for using all the intelligence. It's not a replacement. By following orders, if the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita was that Arjuna follow Krishna's order, Krishna could have just finished the whole Bhagavad Gita, fight, in one word. But Krishna gave a whole elaborate philosophy, a whole worldview, so that Arjuna could not just understand the conclusion, but also understand the reasoning behind the conclusion. And once he understood that reasoning, he could apply that reasoning to other situations also. So the Bhagavad Gita doesn't talk about just actions or decisions. It talks about the foundations for actions and decisions. And that is what makes the Bhagavad Gita relevant, so universally relevant. Relevant for millions of people who never have had to fight anymore. Similarly, in our worldly professions, we should certainly use our intelligence and our conscience when we are executing orders from our superiors. So, it is not just those who give the order that will get the karma. Those who execute the order will also get the karma. For example, the Mahabharata says that when an animal is killed, it is not just the butcher who gets the karma. It is the person who the customer, who the order. There are six people necessary. They all get karma in that. So, similarly, if we are doing something unethical, we also get some karma. Now here, there is one important thing to note, that there are things of relatively higher importance and relatively lower importance. So for example, if we are a part of some organization or government structure, where the particular unethical thing is just a fact of life, then it will be up to each individual upon one's nature to decide how much one wants to confront the system. Now, is it that devotees should normally be upright? But if some level of impropriety is a whole part of the system, and if one becomes a campaigner against that, that can consume all of one's energy. So for example, if there is corruption and one says, I don't want to be a part of the corruption, which is fine. One may not voluntarily take corruption, but if the whole system is like that, one has to be a part of it. Somebody says, I will not be a part of it, then one may just get transferred somewhere far away and sidelined. Now, that may be as materially, from the material perspective, I have acted as a fool, I have been honorably. But spiritually, that may become unfavorable for me. So then we have to weigh
which is important.
We would like to be, which is more important. Both are important, which is more important. So we would like to act in Satvaguna, act honorably, but we are not champions of Satvaguna. We are not champions of, we are not of mundane morality alone. Our purpose is transcendental devotion. And morality is included in devotion, but morality is subordinated to devotion. So, we don't have to go against a campaign, protesting against the existing system just because we are devotees. Whether we want to take up that cause or not will depend on various factors, our own inspiration, our own nature, our specific position that we are in the hierarchy. All those factors can be taken into consideration. So, though we may get some karma if we engage in certain activities. As devotees, our focus should not be so much on karma as on bhakti. How can we favorably practice bhakti? So if a profession is involved by indirectly waiting the four regular principles, then that is different. We should avoid that entirely. But apart from that, if there is some amount of karma involved in something, we don't have to get too caught up in that. If I am writing a software program, and some company somewhere they use that software program for some unethical purpose. Yes, karma is ultimately a complicated net. But I cannot think about every possible consequence and decide based on that what I'm going to do or what I'm not going to do. So I can only consider my purpose and see how best I am serving that purpose. So, based on that, we move onwards. So, yes, subordinates will also get karma. And as devotees, we cannot use the following instructions to say that we are not responsible for our actions. But we focus not just on avoiding bad karma, but on choosing options that are anugul to our bhakti. And we don't want to compromise our bhakti just because of wanting to champion some material morality. If we can be materially moral and at the same time practice bhakti, yes, we definitely be materially moral. But priority will be on the favorable practice of bhakti. That's it.